Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color. Am I going to be able to? Oh, here we go. Failed. Why is it failing? So I'm working on it right now. I'm going to have some folks talk. I know that Henrietta is going to be on the line, but I can't get to the computer to open up your mic. I'm not sure what's going on. Here it is. Blog Talk Radio. So I'm having trouble on my end. We can do the declaration as I figure out what the heck is going on. This is the first time my network has been down. A minute here. Okay, hold on a second. Let's see if I can get this going. So this is not, here we go. All right, something's, we got some movement here. All right, let's try this one more time. Studio, here we go. All right, we've got all these folks lined up here. So let me open up the mics and let me do the declaration. Henrietta, actually your mic is open. Would you like to do the declaration?
Okay. You might hear a little wind. I'm outside.
Oh, I could do the declaration then. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. You actually sound
okay,
pretty good.
Okay, good. I'll do it. I love doing it.
Okay.
Okay. The declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our communities, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing, nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Everywhere that people of Black African descent reside, and this is June 27th, 2017, in the north, the south, the east, and the west, above, below, and within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. And this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and you are on with Gwen Greenidge in New York, and I'm Henrietta Bode in Chicago. How are you, Gwen?
I am wonderful, my dear. I am recouping from my trip to Los Angeles to be part of the partnership program. Very powerful program. I'm looking forward to implement that to my circle of networks, which are my friends, family, and business associates. And I'm doing good. I'm doing well, feeling good, and looking forward to to Georgetown, Guyana, that we're going to be debarking sooner than later. And, you know, I'm just, I'm in a good space. I'm in a darn good space, as they say. How about you, my sister?
Oh, me
too.
How are you doing? I'm like really doing well. Downtown Chicago, at one of the jazz fests at the Museum of Contemporary Art. And Sean, you know Sean, our friend Sean, on keyboards tonight with Maggie Brown. And so it was a wonderful, wonderful show. You know, she does a lot of Abby Lincoln stuff, and she does her dad, Oscar Brown Jr.'s things, and she has a lot of new pieces. She talks about social justice a lot and has some really great music. She is starting a youth program, ages 7 to 17, at the Blue Gargoyle, so in Hyde Park. So the auditions are for the next 2 weeks. So it was just a great evening, like an after-work set, you know. So you kind of hear some background noise, but we're kind of moving out. But I'm excited about tonight's life show, our show, you know. We have...
Yes, we have some special guests, yes.
Yeah, we have some real special guests who are really diligently working on distinguishing the Declaration of the International Black Summit. And so you just heard it. You hear us generate that every week. And Andrea Chapman, who is one of our facilitators, has some discussion that she wants us to engage in around the declaration. So we're going to get to her in just a minute. Just want to remind everybody, August 3rd through the 7th is the annual summit event, and you go to blacksummit.org and register for the event. We have satellites. I'm calling them satellites, but they're like summit parties that are going to take place in different cities. And Chicago is one of those cities. And if you would like to have a summit party, which is a gathering of people who are actually going to participate in the annual summit event virtually, just let us know. Go to blacksummit.org, register. You can bring a group. When you bring groups, the fee is only $150 per person, and it can be your family or it can be a group that you put together. And so it's a real economical way to have the summit experience. So go to blacksummit.org and register. If you haven't taken the prerequisite, you have to be there on Thursday at 9 a.m. And because you have to take the prerequisite before you do the summit. If you've done the summit before, you don't need the prerequisite. So I hope that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And what I want to say about the prerequisite is it gives you a way to listen and a way to participate in the conversation, because the work that we do is very different than any other program that you've done previously. So the opportunity is for you to get the most bang out for your buck is to be in the prerequisite and get an orientation of how the day is going to be, how the facilitation is done. You get a sense of how we work. And you also get exposed to some of the distinctions that our special guest tonight is going to be, Andrea is going to be sharing a little bit of that as well. So you've got some opportunities to do some of the things that we're going to talk about today on the call, as well as, get you prepared for the summit event itself. Back to you, Henrietta.
Thanks, Glenn. And so when we talk about distinguishing, can you hear me okay, Glenn?
Yep. Here's no nothing.
Okay, great. So when we talk about distinguishing something, it's how we see it. It's how we hear it, how we hear a thing. And it's a moment-to-moment thing, you know. And so Andrea will start us off. And, you know, there are other facilitators and other summit body members and other guests that will join us as we distinguish the Declaration of the International Black Summit. Andrea, you there? Is her mic on?
Yeah.
Glenn, did I lose you all?
773-491, is that Andrea?
Yes. Yes, that's Andrea.
All right. I'm having trouble putting her mic on. I have 872-301, 313-941, and I'm just not able to get Andrea on at this moment. Hold on a second. In fact, Andrea, if you can hear me, I'm gonna drop you and call back in. See if that works.
They can't hear me. Say something.
Do you see?
So Andrea, call back in. Have her call back in.
Okay.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, she is.
Okay.
So you hear me on the 872 number?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay.
Okay.
So I guess it's supposed to put me in a different space because I was sitting at my computer and not self-generating this conversation, but I was going to look at a document I had sent out to the summit body to help me try to express where I was coming from. But I had to switch to this other phone because you couldn't hear me talking on my line. So it puts me in a different frame of mind. One of the things that I talked to Joe Hampton yesterday and Keita yesterday, and one of the things that Joe shared with me is that we created the summit. So the Declaration of the International Black Summit is something that we got together as a community and generated that. And I have in recent days been thinking that the summit is an entity in itself, and we come and we step in that summit and we listen to the words of the Declaration, and then we kind of match ourselves up to those words to see that we are fulfilling on the words in the Declaration. And when Joe presented it to me as we created it, it put me in a different space, but it doesn't make any difference. It's like two different perspectives of a space. So whether we created it and we are and generated and we're living up to it, or it was there and then new people or those people that passed are living into it. Whatever it is, it's a conversation that we have set certain standards. We've used certain words to create a standard or way of being, and we use the declaration as kind of like a compass for our living. And one of the most powerful things in the declaration for me is our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is power, one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, integrity, with the possibility of being. And if I could just get real clear about what that means and what that conversation means as I'm relating to people on a day-to-day basis, I think it's going to shift how I be and how the world shows up for me. When I'm talking to someone and I'm in disagreement with them, if I don't let go in that moment and if I remain present in that moment to those qualities that I say exist in that person, my relationship with them is entirely different. The power of it and how I'm looking to empower myself, and hopefully other people will look at it the same thing for themselves, is when I'm talking to someone, am I really doing that? Am I really present to all those qualities being in that person? Do I keep bringing it present? Do I stay present to their magnificence? And it's like, what kind of world does that generate for me when I do that? But I got to be real clear about what power and self-generation and abundance and responsibility and unity and integrity, what that really means for me. So that's the space I'm standing in. And there are other words in the declaration. Community. I mean, there's probably about 40 words in the declaration that could be explored, or phrases that could be explored that I think would empower me in my relationships to others and my relationships to the world. That kind of does it for me.
That's pretty amazing, Andrea. You know, when I look at the declaration and all of the pieces, I don't even know if I see myself in all the pieces all the time, much less anybody else. And it's a real opportunity to really be present to all of the qualities that the declaration speaks to. See in your speaking how that would alter who I'm being and how I'm being in relationship with those individuals if I'm sourcing myself through the declaration. And not only sourcing myself, but sourcing them and myself through the declaration, you know, what then would be possible. So, you know, I don't even know what that would look like, but I'm beginning to just kind of take it on for a second here just to see what kind of shows up. So that's, wow. So have you been engaged in that? Since you talked with Joe, and what has showed up for you?
Well, I talked to Joe and Keita last night.
Okay.
And what happened, I sent it out in an email to probably about 35 to 40 summit participants, and just to have them just begin to think about it. Just like to have them think about it in the way that I'm thinking about it, and that is, this is new. I know that I want to do something with it. I don't know how to execute. So when I talked to Joe and Keita, it was asking them, what do you see? How would you approach this? And if you talk to Joe and Keita, you know that they're like a fountain of information. And what I got out of that and the responses that I've gotten is just putting ourselves in the position or in the space of distinguishing. It does not appear to be that we are in intention in. I mean, we distinguish things all the time. We're sorting, we're judging, we categorize, and we're doing that all the time. Doing it with the intention of doing it is a little different for me. It's a game I love to play, but it's kind of haphazard. I have wonderful thoughts that show up in my mind, and I don't know where they come from. And that's a form of distinguishing. But to actually take something and then break it down in such a way that you get it for you, Claudie, my husband gets it for him, Henrietta, we can look at it, and it's not so much a linear thing that we're all in agreement, but that we all get something for ourselves out of it. And it can be different. It's okay for it to be different. Being in that type of conversation is new for me, being intentional in it.
Well, I think you've actually created a course. You certainly have developed a body of discussions around it, and a particular looking. And whatever we'll discover will be revealed in the access point and in the discovering of it. But I think this is an awesome opportunity to engage each other and ourselves inside of the words, the spirit, tension of that declaration as it was created, and where we've evolved inside that conversation.
Absolutely.
Because for me, so for me, every time I read it, there's something else that jumps out that I'm present to, that I am now see that I maybe hadn't seen before, a different way of relating to the same phraseology that didn't occur the same way the last time I read it. So I've got all of those iterations of what's possible. It's pretty phenomenal, my dear.
That's wonderful to hear. And so,
No, I was going to say, why do you sound so surprised? You're a brilliant woman. No, but really,
you know how I look at it, Glenn, is thoughts come to me, and that's the really amazing, wonderful thing, is thoughts come to me and I don't know where they come from. And the summit is a place where I can come and say those things and be able to have a conversation about it. That's the juice for me in the summit.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's my brilliance or I'm a conduit, but I hear so many people in the summit who operate in the same manner. And one of the things that I was saying in the leadership body meeting this weekend is that we bring different talents. And that's one of the reasons I want to distinguish community, too, is we don't all bring the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The same thing or the same looking or the same perspective. You know, all of those variables change. Yeah.
So thank you. And I absolutely do feel that I am a gift and a contribution to life. And I don't think that it's anything that I do that makes that happen. I just do really love and appreciate myself. And it's wonderful when I feel that love and appreciation from other places.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. And I completely get it, and I completely am amazed at what you've opened up tonight. I mean, it's just a wonderful conversation. I certainly can see having, you know, several hours of discussion, going through some of the sections and some of the words that you've highlighted around, you know, and distinguishing all of that inside of the conversation community. Because I'm very much inside of the funding ourselves inside a community and what that looks like. And, of course, other people have different access points that they're looking at inside a community. And there's no right, there's no wrong. It's all good. And it's all a contribution. So I'm...
What I have seen show up... Can you hear me? Or were you...
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. What I've seen show up is distinguishing. That's the first thing, I think, in the conversations or what I'm hearing in the conversations that I'm having is looking at distinguishing and conversations about how we're distinguishing things. What shows up when you're distinguishing. And I think that's a conversation in itself. I had distinguishing akin to, and I think Anthony Randolph said this to me. I think it was him. It says distinguishing is like being in a dark room and encountering an object and using your experiences to distinguish, to get you present to what that thing is and how to use it in your life. And I have put that out there. So it's kind of like you run into something or you bump into something and you begin to feel it, touch it, taste it, whatever it is, to get a handle on what it is. And I teach preschool now, and, you know, small children, the first thing they do to distinguish something is to put it in their mouths. That's how they begin to explore things. And then as they grow, they learn how to use other senses to do it. So I had put that out there as just a precursor for how I saw distinguishing, because that's what this whole process is about. And then I got a response from Lynn Lockridge, and she said, I prefer to look at distinguishing as a light gets put onto something. And in that light, she felt more empowered to distinguish a thing. And I was like, okay, cool. I can take that on. It doesn't have to be dark. And so I was like, how many other different perspectives may there be about the process of distinguishing? So that's what's showing up for me first to take on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because that certainly is where where you would start this conversation to distinguish and probably noticing.
Yeah.
You know, noticing where you are, your relationship to it, and then begin to distinguish that for yourself, and then sharing that distinction among each other as we you know, get some facility with it.
Go ahead. Want you to expound on what you just said.
Well, when the first place I would say is to just notice the conversation, notice where we are, notice, let me speak for myself, so notice where I am in the conversation, begin to distinguish it for myself so that I get some clarity about what it is for me, and then I can begin to share it in the community as other people are sharing it, so that we can begin to all have an experience of it, all the different experiences that each individual brings to the conversation. Because, see, one of the things I love about the summit is it doesn't matter how long you've been in the conversation, you're equally valid in what you say and what you come up with and what you see. So there's no, well, I've been in it 5 years, and someone else has been in it 10 years, and so they're more valuable than no, it's not that. It's you are where you are, and wherever you are is perfect, and in sharing that, that is providing something, that's providing access to someone else who's not in that particular place, but can capture the experience of it such that they can, you know, glimmer from that and glimmer from the other person and glimmer from the other person and then glimmer from what they've gotten. And now they've got a body of work that the community has contributed to each and every one. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. One of the things that that's important that you say is that every conversation is equally valid.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I don't always think people see that. Just like in the conversation, you said, Andrea, you're brilliant. And I'm like, You know, it might be okay for me to kind of say it in private to myself. Saying it out loud to the world is something entirely different. Now, I don't know why, but it is. And I don't know why, but I get that I have a tendency to be that way. You know, you won't accuse me of being braggadocious. You know, I'm going to be low key, and I'm saying that in contrast to what I was saying about a conversation being equally valid. It is. I don't get that people always get that.
Yeah, that's good. And I want to also point to something that I picked up way back when at Landmark, when I was in IFLP. And one of the people who was a successful introduction leader, he probably was one of the most successful ILs in New York in the 90s. And one of the things that he said is, it's okay to speak about who you are and what you've done. And that there's something about having enough confidence in who you are and what you've done so that, yeah, maybe bragging to some people, but it's really you're letting people know what your resume is, you know, like who you are. Because most of the time people don't know who you are and what you've done and what you're capable of doing. And so sometimes a little bit of bragging lets people know who's in the room. So I'm just going to offer that up to you, because I kind of was like, no, he's not, you know, you're not going to do that like that, are you? You know, but when I heard where he was coming from with it, changed the dynamics of it, and I could see the power in letting people know, you know, not like all my accomplishments, but like, look, you know, I ain't a guy in the diner about this. I've been around the block, and sometimes people need to hear that so that they then can kind of quiet all that other noise that's there about who is this person and why are they talking to me and, you know, whatever else. Just as a possibility, not like it is or not like it, you know, that's for certainty, but like a possibility. So I'm just throwing that out, see if that's something that fits, that you could work with, or you see something for yourself, cool. And if not, then, you know, let it roll down your back.
I look at this conversation leading me to how do I have people I'm in a conversation with, especially in the space of a summit, where they get right away what a contribution they are to the conversation. And that's some of that, our conversation of and about those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, and abundance and responsibility, et cetera. People get present to that real quick in the conversation that they are all that and consider to be all that. So that there people actually participating in the conversation and not looking for something to be delivered to them, because they themselves are delivered in the conversation.
Well, you know, one of the things that has been interesting for me throughout the years is this notion of train me. You know, I need to be trained. And what I notice, or where I am in the conversation, is being a demand to be trained. And what that looks like may be being at the front of the room, or maybe taking on something that I don't know how to do and making it happen and saying, look, I may not know how to do that, but I want to take that on. And in the taking it on is where the training gets done. You know, so I know. So for me, I noticed that we've had different phases of training and what that looks like. And we started out at one point in time in groups, and the groups would move through various distinctions. It wasn't apprentice, so I forget what the first. It was, you know, you got the facilitator. It was like the third phase, and then, you know, then and then beyond. So there were various steps that you would move through as a group, and the whole group would move together. And so it was interesting, and then we stopped doing that, and then we kind of went to overall general conversation around training and being trained. And, you know, for me, it always is about just getting up in front of the room and taking on facilitating. You know, that's one of the reasons why I love the prerequisite. It's like, oh man, where's one? Let me leave one. I think some of the best training is in the prerequisite room with people who don't have an experience of the summit that are trying to find out what it is, and for you to set them up in a way of being. So I get excited about that kind of opportunity.
When you say set them up in a way of being, what do you mean?
Well, set up their listening, because the prerequisite is really a course to have them know how to be inside of the summit space, because the summit space is different than Landmark, than LifeSpring, than a consulting program, than a teaching program. It's a different space. Different than church, different than, a social group, different than a community group. So there's a particular space and a way of being for you to get the most out of being in the summit. And so the prerequisite is a way of orientating people so that they understand that they're going to be getting distinctions, and you give them some distinctions to work with. You have them, begin to look and dissect the declaration. You begin to give them some history of what took place within the summit. So all of those things help to have them listen in a particular way powerfully so that they can get the most out of being in the summit. So that's what I mean.
I'm here, and what I'm really present to now is, for anybody in the summit, when they step outside of the prerequisite, when they step outside of that prerequisite, or in this conversation that we're talking about, is an individual, including myself, getting the contribution they are in the moment, right now, not without any training, without any...
That's right. Yeah.
Without anything, can we get ourselves present to the contribution that we are?
That's an interesting question that only the individual can answer. And one of our, again, going back to one of our distinctions is generating, self-generation. And so when you are listening to yourself through self-generation, you can begin to get clear that it's about you creating something for yourself and for others inside of your speaking and your sharing.
What I'm present to is in the conversation that we're talking about, and I think we are talking about, it seems another key component is having participants be present to the contribution that they are, in that they are empowered in that conversation, that they're not listening, they're not waiting to be told something, to get that they have everything that is needed for that self-generation, for that generation of the conversation.
Maybe. See, because when you when I read the Declaration, and I guess I've read it enough times that I'm present to that self-generation piece in a way that has me left empowered. So I'm very empowered when I read or hear the Declaration. And in fact, I know some people who actually read the Declaration every day. I don't know that there's an is around it. You know, people are in different places and they either generate themselves around that conversation or not. And what I can say is that once people get clear, which is the other powerful distinction, is once people get clear that they're a contribution, then they contribute. Now, you don't need the International Black Summit clear that you're a contribution necessarily. And some people may need the International Black Summit to allow themselves to be clear to be that contribution. So I don't know that there is around it, you know, but I know that people either will be present or not. And inside of the prerequisite, the prerequisite is geared for people to be empowered and left in that space. But that doesn't always happen, like anything else. Does that make sense?
Yeah, can you distinguish when you're in the prerequisite or at the end of the prerequisite that whether that has or has not happened?
Not necessarily. There's so many, that's one of many things that occur inside of the prerequisite, inside of the declaration. And so there's not a barometer that I can look at and say, yeah, they're fully self-expressed and see themselves as a contribution. However, I feel like we've laid the groundwork for that inside of the prerequisite course so that people can then have the ability to take it on and or ask for coaching around it, you know. So there's no one barometer that I would say that we can look at anybody and say, you know, they got this or they didn't get this. But we certainly can ask the question and find out from them where they are in the conversation. You know, I always like the direct approach personally. You know. You know, where are you? Do you feel like you're a contribution or not to that effect?
And it's not just in the prerequisite of coming out of the prerequisite. That's I'm not suggesting that's the only place to ask that question or to make
No.
Yeah.
And I'm
looking at in this conversation of distinction how significant that conversation may be for us to get clear about our contributions. And I was just using the example of you saying to me how you saw me being. And me getting present and being able to deliver that, yeah, I like myself pretty much too. One of my I think one of the things that I'm hearing in the declaration is that my conversation about you is that you are awesome. My intention of being in a relationship with you is going, part of that is going to be acknowledging how magnificent you are. And
well,
I want to get how you feel about it.
Well, in order for me to see the magnificence in anybody else, I have to also see it in myself. And so, you know, I think that the clarity and the work that I do with myself opens me up for other people. So, you know, and that's why I talked about earlier is distinguishing for myself where I am, noticing, distinguishing for myself, and then sharing what I see. To me, it automatically creates an opportunity for people to contribute to each other. And whether I had the conversation, I'm a contribution or not, the work that I've done in the distinguishing, the noticing and the distinguishing gives me something special, gives you something special, and it gives, different folks something special.
And what gives us something special?
Ourselves, our being, who we are, what we constitute ourselves. You know, I'm from New York, you're from Chicago. If everything else was the same, we'd be different. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, but there's so many other differences that we are. You know, we have different levels of spirituality. We have different levels of learning. We've got different experiences that have brought. We've got different sets of parents. So all of those things contribute to who I am. They contribute to who you are. And so automatically, whatever you've got to share is going to be different than what I've got to share, and it's going to be a contribution. If I'm willing to listen. Because if I'm arrogant enough to think that only my conversation is important, then I'll miss your contribution. And I think that happens in life quite a bit, that people miss other people's contribution to them. You know, one of the things that I am present to is that someone who's homeless on the street has provided me and trained me and taught me something. And just because they're homeless doesn't mean that they can't contribute to me. And, you know, that was a revelation when it occurred for me. I was like, wow. They just gave me something that, you know, they just gave me a gem. And I was like, oh, okay. So then I had to begin to look at it as, you know, what possibility was like, and that anybody could contribute to me. Because I had a filter that said, oh, you know, maybe only someone in this particular status could contribute to me. And then when I got that this homeless person contributed to me, in their response, you know, I don't even remember what it was. I think I might have given them something, and they said something to me in a way that shifted my being. And I got that, and I realized that, and I was like, wow. You know, I have a whole new way of receiving the gifts that life has given me, because life has given me gifts all the time. But am I present to those gifts? You know, just like we say, in the, you know, are you present to the alignment? Are you present to the gifts that people are giving you? And do you have filters? And what I noticed, I had filters. And I was like, oh, Glenn, you arrogant son of a so-and-so. Anybody can contribute to you, a child, an adult, an elder person, a homeless person, someone who looks unkept. You know, it's, you know, so I'm listening for the possibility of life giving me everything that I need. And am I willing to listen?
And you just said present to life giving you everything that you need.
Well, it's given me gifts. You know, it's like that conversation. Have you ever heard that joke where the woman, the guy, or the person is thrown off the boat, and a little rubber raft with somebody on it comes by, floats by, and you say, oh, no, that's no good.
Yeah.
And then somebody else comes by with another boat, and he chooses not to accept that one, and he gets up to heaven, and he says, God, why didn't you save me? And I said, and God says, you know, I sent you two boats, but you decided to, you know, for whatever reason, not to get on them. So like that, life has given us gifts, and are we willing to accept it? Because it may not look the way we think it should look. Brother Oren, I see you're on the phone. Your mic is open. And we lost Henrietta.
Yeah, I'm on.
I know you're on, my brother. So we're just having a juicy old conversation here.
Yeah, I'm listening. It's just,
so anything you wanted to add to it?
Well, I was hearing, but the you know, I heard a lot of conversation around the prerequisite. And also, I think I understood I think that was Andrea speaking.
Yeah, it was Andrea speaking, yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to word it because I'm, but what I got to guess was that as people come, go into the prerequisite or not being the prerequisite, they will still get the country, get that the awareness of their contribution. Kind of where that question was going.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't fully understanding what. But I know what I always tell people when I invite people to be in any of the summit space. And the prerequisite as one of the spaces that I always start with it, simply because the prerequisite is the purpose is to be in the exercise of and looking at what authentic listening is and what that means. I know I've, as a person who facilitated many prerequisites, one of the first things I used to start out with was that this is an exploration and we are, they're here to give their contribution to this exploration of authentic listening. It's not something like in all the distinctions of prerequisite, that is a done deal. There's always exploration. There's always someone bringing another aspect to it. So I start out, and basically most people start out now when we do the prerequisite, that people knowing that they're a contribution, and we're listening for their contribution and to the conversation, to the prerequisite, to the declaration of the International Black Summit. One of the things that we often do in the course of the prerequisite, we always ask participants what is the part that they wrote inside the declaration. Hello? Or I kept hearing like if something was cutting me off or something like that. So, I think that is and then people start to explore and say, oh, this is the part that I wrote, you know, without having been there and being the literal writer, but that's an aspect of where they see themselves inside the declaration. And I think from starting from that space, it already established that people are our contribution, and we're listening for the contribution. So if that, you know, speaks to what Andrea was asking or saying. But that's what, you know, that's what I heard, and that's why I started contributing the conversation.
Yeah, that's great, Oren. One of the things that Oren always says that I'm always left with is, We ain't got nothing to give you. We're here to learn with you, alongside you. We're looking to see what's going to get created in this conversation. And for me, that's one of the unique things about the summit, is that we're not reading from a manual delivering something. We're actually listening together in the space for what life is wanting to bring to us. So it's a very I'm gonna say interactive experience for me as a facilitator that is different than any other space that I'm in. And for me, that's where the training is in the listening.
Yeah.
So we've actually run out of time in a great, great, great conversation. And I got a 412, which I think is a church lady from Pittsburgh, but I can't open up her mic. But, well, does anyone want to say anything before we get we close out the evening? Andrea? Anything for you?
Yeah, I said I appreciate having the time with you, now I'm a commitment to participate in the Blog Talk conversations. I've never done it in the past, and I definitely have appreciation for it and for your commitment. So it's definitely opened up something for me as a space to have conversation, and I thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, we get to have all kinds of great conversations every week. And, you know, you drove it in a particular way tonight, and I thank you for leading the conversation in the way that you did, because you really facilitated this radio show tonight. I don't know if you get that.
Now I do.
Okay. Okay, good. Good. And see, that's what's available in any of the International Black Summit spaces. You know, in a room, on a call, on the radio show. And I'm going to venture to say that out in the community as well. So it's not limited to a room or, you know, I mean, these are the conversations we, you know, we can have as facilitators in our life. You know, with our friends, family, associates, businesses, et cetera, et cetera. And now you're teaching children. So, I mean, you've got a great opportunity to infuse a level of this conversation with the young people that you're working with around accountability, responsibility, integrity, you know, all those things. What a privilege.
Yes. Yes.
Well, again, thank you for being on the call, and I appreciate you, and I invite you to be on the call, and if you want to lead something, please do. I invite you to be. I'm your partner, as Henrietta
thank
is
you.
In this conversation.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oren, anything for you?
Just to say I'm excited about, you know, Guyana and the possibility of this conversation. Being grounded in Guyana, you know. So that's why I see the possibility, and particularly again in size of the prerequisite given the purpose of the International Summit of Participants, an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community in the world. And the great thing about the prerequisite in particular, because it's also the course that we get to explore as many distinctions as possible inside of the summit that we use to facilitate and move the conversation and getting ourselves conscious of the declaration. So I'm saying that, you know, to have people get grounded in some of these, to make this available for others, to get grounded, and also to have a particular way of looking at their vision and things like that, so that can come through. So, you know, I'm just excited that this is a possibility and that we're all part of this and making this happen in Guyana. All right, thank everybody for the partnership as we move forward.
Awesome. So with that, don't forget our website for information for Guyana, www.blacksummit.org. Register yourself, get yourself ready for that conversation and that travel to Georgetown, Guyana, at Ramada Inn. We're going to be staying at the Ramada Inn, so all the information is on the website. And get it together, because it's going to be awesome. You don't want to miss it. So take care. We love you. Good night, and God bless.
Good night, Glenn. Peace. Good night, everyone else.
Good night.
Peace and blessings. Good night.